Praise the Lord. You got your Bibles this morning? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Praise God. We're in our study of the epistle, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. This was his second letter. And what a wonderful letter. I want to remain in chapter 3, but I need to keep moving. But because I said last week, I can't cover everything in any of these services because you could take a verse or a few verses and spend a few weeks on them. However, I will say this. We see in the third chapter in the 14th verse, I will finish up with this. He said, "But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now, really, I didn't mention this, I don't think, last week, but really, you're talking about the Jews. I mean, Paul's talking about the Jews here as well. I mean, there's things that we can bring out individually that applies to our lives. But see, a lot of the Jews, they're still looking for the Messiah. And they're still under that old covenant law. And the veil is over their heart. Okay? Really, Christ is of none effect them at this moment. Because they're still waiting for Christ. You see what I'm saying? And yet, any time you still have that relationship with God under the old covenant way, then really Jesus is no effect to you. Matter of fact, let's go to the book of Galatians. I need to do this, okay? Go to Galatians chapter 3 with me. And yet we can see, not only does this apply to the Jews, but even after a person is born again, he's a new creature. Paul said, you're not a Jew that is one that is outwardly a Jew, but one that is one inwardly, the circumcision of your heart, okay? Not of your flesh. And so he talked about this. Notice here in verse 10, and this is what we sort of mentioned at the end of last week, we were sort of getting to, but I want to make reference to this. Paul said the same thing here, just a little different way. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not and a few things, some things, most things." No. Cursed is the person that does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." Now look at verse 12. "And the law is not of faith." Anytime you're under the law or under the mindset of the law that you're trying to perform, you're trying to make sure that what you do obligates God toward you in any manner, you're under the curse. Matter of fact, faith is void. There is no faith at that moment. Zero. Zip. Nada. In operation. "For by grace are you saved through faith." The salvation that you want to experience in your life, even after you're born again, is going to be by faith. But the law is not of faith. Matter of fact, Paul finishes it up over here in chapter 5, verse 4. He says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." See, a lot of people think that people fall from grace when they sin. See, that's why the church has always taught people, well, they fell from grace because he's out here living a certain way. No, Paul said you fall from grace when you try to do right and keep right and dot the I's and cross the T. Now, let me ask you a question. If you fall from something, it means what you fall from is higher. It's above. Grace is above the law. It's a better way. It's a new and living way. It's a better covenant established upon better promises. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. So, we know that Paul's making reference here to the Jews, but listen, he's writing to believers too, guys. Not only about the Jews, but he's writing to people as Christians that, listen, you cannot approach God under the manner in which man approached God under the old covenant. Because it's been done away, it's been abolished. You're trying to fellowship, I think last week, you're trying to fellowship with a shadow. And how silly would it look for us, or if we were outside somewhere on a sunny day and you were talking to somebody and they turned to your shadow that was reflecting beside you and they started talking and having a relationship with your shadow instead of you. See, we think that's weird. But yet people from the spiritual side do that. Okay, y'all ready? Chapter 4, praise God. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here again, we get insight into Paul's heart. I'm telling you, praise God, the ministry that he received, and let me say this to you again, you don't have to be in the fivefold ministry to have this kind of attitude about God, about his word, and about people. Let me say it to you like this. A lot of people will commend themselves for certain people's conscience, but not everybody. In other words, they'll do certain things around certain people because it's certain people, but they wouldn't do that way around all people. Don't shout me down because I'm doing a wonderful job this morning. Let me tell you something. It's all about people. For God so loved the world. And listen, we don't approve of things. We don't yoke ourselves together. We're going to see this here shortly with certain things. Matter of fact, we cleanse ourselves from certain things. Because we're not to be yoked together with certain things. We don't cleanse ourselves of certain things. His blood cleanses us. But we cleanse ourselves from certain things. See, a lot of people's misunderstood chapter 7, verse 1. I know I'm getting ahead of myself because they're thinking, well, wait a minute, I thought I was born again. I thought my spirit's complete. I thought I'm perfect in the spirit. Now I've got to cleanse myself. That ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about cleansing yourself from something, not cleansing yourself of something. Now, thank God Paul had such a heart that he was mindful. Let me say it like this. He was mindful of people. He was mindful of their conscience. He was mindful of how it would affect them. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's keep moving. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Once again, Paul made himself a servant. Same thing Jesus did. Jesus humbled himself. Nobody had to humble him. He humbled himself, became a servant. And it says in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness, how much is in these scriptures here? Paul says in different scriptures, he says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and also in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus is the image of God. God has shined in our hearts and God gives the light and the knowledge of his glory. His glory is his goodness. How does God reveal and express who he really is? You know, we say, God is good, and people say, all the time. You ever heard that? Well, that is a true statement. But how do we really know that God is good? And how do we see that glory or that goodness? You look at Jesus. Listen, you never get your definition. I've said this over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it. You never define or get your understanding of God's love for you if you pray a prayer and things work out for you. Because there's so many people who may have prayed about something, hadn't seen the answer yet, and then they start thinking, and the devil will accommodate them, and they'll start thinking that, well, God must not care about me. He must not love me. And they're trying to define God's love for them through circumstance. You define God's love for you in the face of Jesus Christ. You find out how much God loved you because he sent, at that time, his only begotten son to the cross to be mutilated. And not only did he send him to the cross, he sent him to the lower parts of the earth in your behalf. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, by the way, I want to say something about verse 4. Satan is the god of this world. I'm talking about the world system. You know, Paul said, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a course according to this world. Satan is the god of this world. He's still here. I'm talking about he has a lease. Now, there will come a time when he will be bound and be put away. We'll all be glad. But he is the god of this world system. And when someone does not believe on Jesus Christ, even we're talking about the Jews, we can include them too. I mean, I know sometimes people get upset with some of these things, but it doesn't matter who you are. If you've not believed on him, it's because your understanding is darkened. You're blinded. In other words, you can't see. You need light. You know, that's why Paul encouraged the church, encouraged all of us. If you got a situation where someone's not believing the way they should believe, even if they're born again, we know if they're not born again, their mind and heart is darkened and blinded. They need to see and get a revelation of Jesus as their salvation and really see that he is the only way to the Father. And yet, because they haven't believed on him, we see here that their heart or their mind's been darkened. That's why the entrance of God's word gives light. That's why God has chose the foolishness of preaching and teaching to bring the light of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ. And yet, we understand that when a person who is lost, but what about when a person's not lost? They've been born again, and yet maybe they're not believing the way they should believe. Maybe they're even struggling in one area of their life. Could be health or healing or other areas, finances, relationships. Well, if they're not believing and their heart is not at rest and they really believe they're receiving things the way they should, then what's the answer? It's what Paul told the church to pray in Ephesians chapter 1. You pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Because any of us, I don't care, I include myself in this. If I'm not believing in a manner which I should believe, then the answer to that is light. I need to remove the darkness in that area or that degree. That it needs to be removed from my understanding so that I can see and that revelation would come to my heart and the gates of hell would not prevail against me at that moment. Because that's what Jesus told Peter. He said, upon this rock. What rock? The rock of something being revealed to your heart from the Father. That's the answer, folks. That's how we pray for our loved ones. That's how we pray for ourselves. It's how Paul, by the Holy Spirit, encouraged us to pray. And of course, you can pray in the Holy Ghost, but you can need to pray those prayers. Amen. Now, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me tell you something. You remember I said a while ago, your sufficiency is not of yourselves. But let me say this to you. You have sufficiency because your sufficiency is what Jesus did for you and me at the cross. Listen, he has brought a supply to us now. When God raised him from the dead, he raised him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the heavenlies, but in the earth and even under the earth. And we've been raised up together with Him, been made by God, by the work and the operation of the faith of God. The work of the Spirit of God has raised us up together with Him. Oh, glory to God. That's how we confront things in life. What do you mean, how do we confront it? That's the position we have in our heart and in our soul. I don't care where it looks like. It looks like everything around you is crashing, crumbling, coming down, but blessed be God, you can stand up because of knowing who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. The excellency of the power is not in ourselves, it's not of us, but it is from God. And it's been given to us freely. Being justified freely by His grace. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is free. You don't have to pay nothing. The power of God is free. The excellency of the power is of God, and it's been given to us by grace through faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, you got to preach these things to yourself. That's why sometimes you may have to open up your Bible, go back to this scripture and read it, and walk around in the room and praise God and lift up your hands. I'm talking about when everything's coming against your mind, when you hear the report, or when you get somebody calls you, or your kids call you, or something happens at work, or your body starts trying to do something it don't need to be doing. And then your mind tries to go, you know. Listen, I've had sometimes, I don't know if it's I sleep on it or what, but I've had times, and this happened at different times, not all the time, but I've had times where all of a sudden I feel like it's like a dull feeling would happen. I don't know how to explain it. You know what the first thing the devil will tell you is, you got blockage. Shut up. Get out. Leave me. And that's what Jesus would say. He didn't get into long sentences.
Yes, amen.
Come out. Hold your peace. About two or three words is all it takes, folks. Because if you start getting more than that, then you start analyzing and feel like you got to make sure you say it just right. You got to add two or three more sentences to it because the first sentence didn't work. It's just not quite enough. So I got to add about five more sentences to make me feel good, make me feel qualified that that was a good one right there because I added those two or three last words to it. Jesus only spoke a few words. Shut up. Stop. Come out. Be healed. I'm getting about half stirred up. Sometimes we need to simplify this stuff. But this stuff will come against you. He's the God of this world. And He'll try to blind your mind. He'll try to lie to you. But listen, we have the truth. And all we need to do is look at Jesus. And let the light that comes from looking at the Word of God that tells us everything that He is and everything that He's done. It is the absolute truth. It is the reality. So, are you ready? Paul's fixing to shift gears here. Are you ready to hook up with me? Because there's a theme here now that he's wanting to share with the church. And he says this. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You remember earlier he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. He said, not that we should trust in ourselves. He thought they were going to die at one time. He said, but we had the sentence of death, not even the trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who has delivered us, who does deliver us, and yet will deliver us. But he was in a pickle, as we say. But yet he was persuaded in whom he had believed in. And he was fully convinced that he was able to keep him. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to make it. Praise God. You are going to make it. God is keeping you, protecting you. Hallelujah. You will make it all the way through. Hallelujah. And then he said this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distress. You know, I've been troubled before, and I've been troubled, I think, on one side of me, and I thought I was troubled a little bit in the front of me. He was troubled on every side. But look at his attitude. See, he's trying to say something to people because he wants them to see and be encouraged that even though things come, you can still stand. You can still, having done all to stand, you can still be in a position of joy and peace. You can lay down in the boat and go to sleep when the storm's raging. Paul said like this. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, or not stressed out, as we say. Listen, I've got trouble all around me, but I'm not stressed out about it. That's another way we would say it. Well, that's Paul, Roger. No. You know, Paul included the church. He said, everything we do, we're going to see, is for your sake. Because I'm trying to get you to see the same thing I'm seeing. Yes. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. What he was saying is, you know, for example, you've heard me say this. I think it was out of Antioch and Lystra. I'd have to go back. Forgive me, but there was a couple of cities where those folk, where he had been and preached and proclaimed the gospel, came, hunted him down, found him, and stoned him. I mean, I'm talking about they sought him out and they killed. I mean, they literally killed him. They stoned him, and God raised him up. They prayed over Paul. He was raised up, and then he told Barnabas. He said, "Let's go back. Let's go back." They found him. Now he's wanting to go back to where they come from and check on the believers there. What Paul was saying, listen, my life, I put my life on the line of death and being killed for you so that you could experience life, the life that's of him, so that you would hear the glorious gospel that shines in the face of Jesus Christ, and then you begin to see something that is so much more glorious than the glory that was on Moses' face of the reading of the Ten Commandments. Oh, glory to God, I got chicken skin right now. Forgive me. I got gooseies. I'm telling you, folks, this is the heart of God for us. And listen, he wants this understanding, this love, this faith to affect every minute area and circumstance of our life. Oh, praise God. And he went through it all. But besides Jesus, I don't know of anybody who encountered what Paul encountered. I mean, all of them, don't get me. I mean, Peter, we know from history, was crucified upside down. I mean, they're all, I mean, John was boiled. I mean, people were just, but they did it because everything was on the line. And he talks about it. Now, notice this. He says, we, having the same spirit of faith. Notice, we. He didn't just say, me. We, the church, having, one of these days we're going to get it. What does we having mean? What tense is that? Glory to God. We having the same spirit of faith. You got it on the inside of you. I'm telling you, I got it on the inside of me. What? I'm talking about the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you and me today. I mean, God wanted to, listen, God desired with all of his heart to live at your address. Well, let me move on. I'll get sidetracked here. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. How many things are for your sakes? It's really, we could say our sakes. Everything is for us. What did Paul say to the church at Rome? If God be for us, who can be against us? All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, a little grace, a portion of grace. Listen. Do you know that when great grace was upon the church, the early church, that they saw signs and wonders and miracles? Hey, guys, giddy up. Joe's coming next week in. He'll share some things that will inspire your heart about these last days. Giddy up. The grace of God is abounding upon the church. The devil will not have the last say. Everything that you see around you and hear around you, I'm not saying there's not situations going on around, even in our country, but a lot of it, from the spiritual standpoint, it's a smoke screen. Our Father, His Word endures forever. His Word is forever settled in heaven. What He has said shall be. This earth, this country, this nation will see more of the glory of God than it's ever seen before. And you can bank it. You can carry it to the spiritual bank. I don't care how big the devil is huffing and puffing and trying to blow people's houses down. He is a loser. Amen. And a liar. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm telling you, you think for 1 minute that this thing's going to end up and God not be glorified? Oh, don't be deceived, my brethren. When you see these things, lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes. Your redemption draws nigh. Listen, as great as creation was, and it's hard for us to fathom I'm just talking about through He spoke things and it just come in. And even the birth of Christ and the miraculous conception and the virgin birth and everything that came and was ushered in, even His resurrection and all that took place, the best is coming. I got that chicken skin again, folks. Oh, praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. Don't yield to your flesh. Get out of your head. Tap into your spirit. Your spirit knows things because God in you, the Spirit of God in you, knows all things, and He's one with you. And He will show you the things that have been freely given to us of God. And even when I mean show, He will witness in you. He'll bring a peace to you when everybody else has fear. Excuse me. Now, He said, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Notice right here, the outward man perishes is referring to everything that he's talking about, how he's been persecuted. You know, he was beaten. We'll see in other scriptures here, he was beaten with, with stripes, the cat of nine tails. I mean, he was whipped and beaten. And not only that, the toll that it took on him physically and what he was doing, and even not just Paul, but knowing because of what took place in the fall, our outward man, it does perish. It decays. It's growing older. But the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And the light affliction he's talking about here is the totality of your life here on earth. That's what he's talking about. And he says it's just a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. See, we don't need to stop right there because he's not stopped talking. He's talking about the same thing. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Listen, he's talking about, we've got the earnest. He talked about in Romans chapter 8, that we have this hope now. Hope that is seen is not hope. And we have the earnest of the Spirit for the redemption of our bodies. He's talking about receiving a new spiritual body. We looked at this in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We call it a glorified body. And everything is groaning and everything is ready to be changed. And yet within us, we have the earnest, the down payment already in us. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And he's talking about, listen to me, he's talking about the spirit of faith operating in us in this life. Knowing that no matter, listen to me, no matter what you deal with, I don't care if it's for a month, 3 years, or the totality of your life. It is a lot of affliction, it's but for a moment. And the spirit of faith in you will believe of the greater that's in store and what he's saying here in chapter 5. And then you'll begin to say things out of your mouth accordingly. Matter of fact, Paul's quoting a scripture from the 116th chapter of the book of Psalms. And you know what else is written right below that scripture he quoted? He quoted from Psalm 116, verse 10. And right below that is the scripture where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Yes, death is an enemy. It never was intended. But let me tell you something. For a believer, when someone transitions and they take their last breath in that physical body, the next breath is with the Lord. And it's a precious thing to God. I got news for you. If the Lord tarries and you take your last breath here and your next breath is with him, it's going to be precious to you too. Now your loved ones will have to deal with it, and they'll have to be comforted, and God will comfort them and he will help them. Because there's a temporal separation. But for you and for the Lord and everybody else up there, it's precious. It's wonderful. For he's more wonderful. You ready? Therefore. Therefore is connected to everything he's been saying from verse 13 in the fourth chapter. Matter of fact, back to when we started out, when we're troubled on every side. Can we take scripture in context? Therefore, we are always confident. Knowing, what do we know? That's positive. Not questioning. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. See, he's still talking about faith. He's talking about the spirit of faith. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let me give you this over. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me give you an example of this. Matter of fact, in these scriptures, there's a reference in my Bible to these scriptures. Why? Because they're connected. Now, before we sign off here this morning, we'll go back and I'll give you some individual principles that will apply in your life about other things. But really, if we take the context of what he's saying, what Paul is basically saying here says, listen, your outward man perisheth. And not only does your outward man perish, there is a great possibility, because Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You've never been promised that the weapon won't form. The promise is it won't prosper against you. Because in that setting of Scripture in Isaiah 54, God said, things will gather against you, but they're not from me. Hello? Did anybody hear what I just said? There are things that will come in your life. Well, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why I'm dealing with all this stuff, because I'm a Christian and I have faith. Get a clue. Wake up. Snap out of it. Get over it. I don't like you saying that to me. You sound like you're insensitive to what I'm going through. I'm not insensitive to what you're going through. I'm trying to help you to rise up out of that situation, even if it comes to they die. I went to my uncle's funeral service here a few days ago. My daddy's brother right up above him, Uncle Gene. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Found out things about Uncle Gene I never heard before. He was the run of what we call the run of the litter. He wasn't as tall as the other brothers. Didn't mean nothing, though. At 88, I found out this, his grandson stood and preached at a service. At 88, he laid the block on his basement on his new house. He laid 400 block in a day at 88 years old. 400. That'd kill a young man. At 77 years old, he had a pole in his basement. He could grab the pole and grip it with his hands and extend his body level off the floor, levitating at 77 and not sag, like an acrobat. What he stood up and he said he's a big ESPN guy, he played ball. He said, I watched those 30 for 30 programs. And he said, like Bo Jackson, he said, what it is, they tell you things, it's almost like, can you believe that these are really true? It's almost like what's true and what's fiction because of the feats that some of these people did. But you know what the greatest thing is? He's with Jesus. All that stuff, listen. And when I go to a service, listen, all I can do is rejoice. There's not a sad bone in me. Matter of fact, when I go to any service anymore, the only time that I would sorrow, you know, you weep with those that weep, it's just for them. But for the person himself that's a believer, there is no weeping for them. There is no sadness for them. I'm not sad about them at all. What moves you sometimes is when you see other people hurting and your heart goes out to them because they're hurting. We all understand that. But really, for them, we know that if our earthly house is dissolved for any reason, no matter, he didn't say what age it was, we have something of God. And we groan within this. Really, this is the thing that we're looking for anyway. This is the very thing that we're all headed to anyway. Matter of fact, you see in this scripture that he's talking about in context. Listen, in this life, you're going to deal with stuff. And you're going to have things all throughout your life that may come and go. But the true spirit of faith believes something and it says something. And we see the example of it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Verse 13. These all died in doubt and fear. No. These all died in faith. I submit to you, it's the same faith he's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The spirit of faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Isn't that something that we got the same phraseology, if I could use that term? While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. In other words, we don't look at right here, that's what's close. We look afar off. And yet these people died in faith, not just looking at the things around them. Look at this. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Let me ask you a question, my brother and sister. What are you embracing in your earth walk? What have you truly embraced? What you embrace is the thing that is closest to you. Closest to your heart. They embraced him. And oh, by the way, we believe, therefore we speak. Notice what they did. And they confessed. They believed something. They died in faith. And they said, what did they say? That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say, not just think, but they that say, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. For they said, or they say, such things they declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. If we know that our earthly house is dissolved, we've got something waiting on us that's so much more better. Let me say something to you folks. You have to have this on the inside of you propelling you through your life. Now listen, God cares about our life now. God wants us blessed in every way. He desires above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. If you love your kids and want to give good things and do good things for your kids, much more, Heavenly Father wants to do things for you and me. However, He also wants us to have this spirit as we walk. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk down here with a mindset and an attitude about this life. And yes, even though we encounter things like Paul encountered, we believe certain things and we declare certain things right in the face of it. It'll help you. It'll keep you settled. And oh, by the way, it will absolutely be a witness to people around you. And people will come to you and they'll call on you in their time of need. Well, it's not that we're replacing God or the throne of grace and mercy, but we're there for people. Because we done read that we're able to comfort people with the same comfort which wherewith God has already comforted us. Amen. Now, individually, let's go back. Verse 13. I gave you the context. Now, I'm going to say some things from a little individual perspective that can help us while we're still here as well in other areas. Not just something happens to our earthly house or just when we go through situations. It says, Paul quoting the scripture, says, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Let me say something to you. You're always going to speak what you believe. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Your heart needs to be influenced by the Word of God so that what you're saying is in line with the truth, because His Word is truth. No matter what fact you encounter, and there can be facts that you deal with in life, you know, it was a fact that Paul dealt with persecution. It's a fact that Paul was troubled on every side. That's a fact. But there's a truth that was greater that caused him not to be stressed out about it. Doubt and fear is just believing something in the opposite direction. But it's still believing. And you'll say things and you'll speak doubt and you'll speak fear because you really believe in that. You believe that's what's going to happen or there might happen. Well, somebody says, I can't help it. Yeah, you can. Listen, change your heart. All you got to do is get your heart changed. Once your heart is changed and affected, you'll speak what's in your heart. Another thing is we're not to look at the things that are seen. Faith, true Bible faith. Number one, faith speaks from the heart. I know doubt and fear does, but let's focus on faith. Let's focus on the positive side. Faith has a voice. Faith will speak. If it's truly faith, if it's Bible faith, if it's faith in the heart, you don't have to try to coach somebody to speak. Now, I'm not saying we can't help people or help people say things. Pray this with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's wrong. But ultimately, listen to me, ultimately, what needs to happen is people's hearts and souls are affected and transformed by the Word of God. That out of them, they're saying certain things because it's a byproduct. You're not trying to work faith per se. You're not trying to get into performance with faith. You're not trying to figure out how to work it. It should just automatically come from your heart. Faith does not look at the things that are seen. I'm talking about when faith is speaking, I'm talking about Bible faith, it's not looking at the seen, it's looking at the unseen. It's looking at the truth of God's Word. If it's faith. So, let me say something to you. You don't pray for faith. You can ask God for faith. It won't do you any good. Lord, give me faith. Please, God. God, I need more faith. No, you've got faith. You've been born again. You've got the nature of faith on the inside of you. What you need to do now is to feed it. You need to feed that nature with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It didn't say you pray for faith. It automatically comes when you feed your spirit. Faith grows exceedingly when you feed your spirit, feed your heart on the Word, and when you exercise your faith. You know, God has given, you can understand some spiritual things by the natural. Now, the natural is not above the spiritual, but still God gives us natural things. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. If you want somebody to get stronger, I'm saying like an athlete, there's two things that he's going to do. He's going to have a proper diet, and he's going to exercise. And he's going to rest, and he's going to sleep. He's going to get rest. That's three. And I say, I know, I said two. Thank you. My sweet wife's back there with her postcard up. Her three fingers back there. Used to, it's better, Jim. She used to just get a piece of paper or something and write on it and hang it up in the back there at me. But literally, you can understand that. If you want to get stronger physically, I'll tell you what. Go get you a case of chocolate milk. Go buy all the potato chips you can buy. Get you all those powdered donuts and Twinkies. And listen, don't ever eat any protein, none. No protein in your diet, no vegetables in your diet, none. I want zero. All we're eating is potato chips and Twinkies and chocolate milk. Do not exercise 1 minute. Do not walk much, do not anything, and you're going to become so strong. How is it that that is a no-brainer to us in the natural, and yet people struggle with spiritual things, and they're like, God, give me faith. Lord, I just pray that the Lord will give me faith. I don't have the faith you have. Lord, maybe the Lord will give me faith that you got. It don't come that way. It will never come that way. You're going to have to feed yourself and feed your heart on the Word of God. And then sometimes you're going to have to put that into practice. What do you mean? We got a situation here. What do we do? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says this. Okay, let's do that. Let's exercise. Let's walk in that. That's where you grow. That's where you grow spiritually. That's where you become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. That's enough. Glory to God. I could keep going. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, I want to leave you with this, though. You know, I've told you, like, we can take a scripture and we can break it down, and there's many things the Lord can show us. You've all experienced this. To degrees in your life where God will speak a word to you. And that word will come most a lot of times out of a scripture, just a phrase or a word. And He will show you something that you can apply to your life. Just from that word, or just it can be part of a verse, or it can be the whole verse, or it can be a couple of verses. However, I want to encourage you today, there's a context. Because what He was talking about in chapter 4, it goes over into chapter 5. It's not separated. Know this. See, death has been swallowed up by life. He that had the power of death. See, Jesus came and partook of flesh and blood to destroy. I want to ask you a question. Did He do His job? Yes. Did He destroy him that had the power of death? That doesn't mean that the God of this world is not still around. But what we need to understand, that death in itself has been totally destroyed and handled for us. That's why when Jesus looked at Martha and she was like, Lord, I know He'll be raised up in the last day. He's like, oh, Martha, look into my eyes. Yeah, He'll get raised up in the last day, but I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, he was wanting her to see something much greater than Him just being raised up from the dead. He came to abolish everything for us. And now we've got a spirit on the inside of us. That while we're journeying down here, listen, Don't get comfortable. That doesn't mean you can't be content where you are. But don't get comfortable in the sense, listen, you're going to hear this next week. You're just writing your resume right now. Matter of fact, I was going to get into this today, but the next few verses, right after this, he says, oh, by the way, we need to labor to be accepted. We'll talk about what that really means. And he said, for we're all going to go before the reward seat. And we're gonna get rewarded for the things that we've done in this body, good and bad. We'll talk about what all that means. In other words, there's something greater here, folks. We have to have this understanding, because what it does, this hope within you, you'll purify yourself. You'll keep yourself. You'll cleanse yourself from certain things. It'll cause you to resist that which is of this world. And it'll cause you to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It'll keep you all the way to the end. Turn once again, tell somebody next to you, you're going to make it. Praise God. You're going to make it all the way. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for such love and such grace and such mercy. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going all the way for us, being fully obedient even unto death in our behalf. Thank you for making request of our Heavenly Father that He would send us the great Comforter and Helper who is here today. And we receive right now, Holy Spirit, you're not an it. You're a person. You're just as much God as Jesus and the Father. And you're here now with us. You live in us, but you're with us. And we receive of you right now. We acknowledge you as the great helper. That which everything Jesus is, you bring His supply to us now. And we declare in Jesus' name, health, strength, life, wholeness to every individual under the sound of my voice. We declare great grace upon us that will cause us to experience the very divine nature and the power of God in our lives, so that we can fully accomplish and carry out the Father's heart and plan and purpose for each and every one of us. We do it in strength. We do it in excellence. We do it in great power and grace. We speak these things because we believe these things. And we thank you, Lord, that you're coming soon. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.